been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Purple Friday preview, and it's everybody's favorite week. It's Ravens Steelers week, and we are getting ready for the primetime Sunday night game that will be on NBC. The whole world will be watching this Sunday as the Ravens take on the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Joining me, as always, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm fired up, man. Just like you said, it's Ravens Steelers Sunday night football. It's Steelers week, man. I'm pumped. I got my... Pittsburgh Sucks, the original Pittsburgh Sucks purple towel. I'm ready to go. The only time you'll ever see me, lug around a towel these days, because I don't want to be like Pittsburgh. That's just bad. Got my Pittsburgh Sucks towel. In the next 2 days, you're going to be sick of me because I'm going to be putting out all kinds of stuff. So online and bulletin board material, and I'm ready to rock, man.
That's right. And let me tell you, I was a little nervous coming into this show because on Wednesday, the did not practice list was huge. I couldn't get over it. So on Wednesday, Lamar Jackson, Ronnie Stanley, Eric Weddle, John Brown, Terrell Suggs, Brandon Carr, Anthony Averett, Willie Henry, all did not practice on Wednesday. Limited was CJ Mosley, Hayden Hurst.
Man, we're in trouble.
I know. Michael Pierce, Anthony Levine. So today's injury report, this is on Thursday is when we're recording, a little bit shorter of a list. Anthony Averett, Willie Henry, and Terrell Suggs did not practice. Hayden Hurst was limited, and that means John Brown, Brandon Carr, Lamar Jackson, Anthony Levine, CJ Mosley, Michael Pierce, Ronnie Stanley, Eric Weddle were all full participants. So it just seems like Wednesday was an off day for the team. I guess they didn't want to – they know – how hard of a game this is going to be against a divisional opponent, against the Steelers, where there's such a long lineage of hard knock games, that the Ravens right. didn't really want to push the team that far.
We all know the injury report was going to be light just because we knew there was no major injuries on Sunday. This was a lot of precautionary stuff, like Weddle, non-injury related, John Brown, not injury related, Suggs, I think it was listed as a knee, but I think maybe he had a day off because he's a veteran. Who knows?
Well, this is now 2 days off for Terrell Suggs. So that's a little little worrisome that he isn't practicing on Wednesday or Thursday.
I'm not worried, though, because we already know. I mean, who am I to say? But I know for a fact, and I can confidently say, that I don't think he got hurt on Sunday. This is resting up because it's going to be a big war on Sunday, and we have a big stretch coming up where – dude, and the AFC North battle is going to be wide open here, and we need all hands on deck, man. And speaking of that, we welcome a few Ravens back. We have Mike Pierce coming back. He had the foot injury. Hayden Hurst, man. Hayden Hurst, welcome to practice. The rookie, the 25th overall pick, our first draft pick this year, is on the field. And, man, this is a huge, huge thing for us. And is CJ Mosley coming back. When he first went out with this – the bone bruise, it was deemed to be a little dire straits, but he was already trying to come back a week later, and all of a sudden here he is, man. He's in the mix, and could be a very distinct possibility that we can get him out there on Sunday.
I think these guys, Hayden Hurst, this is going to be his first time against the Steelers. CJ Mosley knows what it's like. I think everybody wants to be out. Everybody knows the history of this rivalry. They want to be out there on the field. But I do want to ask you, since Terrell Suggs, I think he'll be out there even though he didn't practice the last 2 days. But one of the biggest storylines of this entire season league-wise is the new passing the rusher, or not passing the rusher, roughing the passer.
Might as well pass the rusher.
No. Roughing the passer penalty. Terrell Suggs is known to lay some big hits on Big Ben. What's going to happen this Sunday with that new rule? Because I mean, hopefully we don't see Big Ben, like, flopping like a fish, you know, out there on the field if he comes, you know, close to Terrell Suggs. But at the same time, you don't want things to happen where you're giving up free yardage to this team. So how do the Ravens continue the pressure on Big Ben? How does Suggs continue the pressure on Big Ben while also not getting flags?
I feel like they really shouldn't be bothered by the rule. What can you do? Suggs has already joked about it, saying we can just lay him down gently, or, you know, whatever he said to. I know some players said to him in touch. I know you're just like anybody else who, you know, feel that this is really going too far, take away for a game. And a statement came out. Troy Vincent tweeted it, and I kind of was like, you got to be kidding me. And the reactions were just following suit, as I did. They said the committee had a conference call. They weren't really going to change much about it. So I'm a little bit beside myself as regarding why the committee is not going to change anything, because obviously it's hurting everything. This is a statement from the NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Troy Vincent. Okay, and this is straight from the Twitter feed. The NFL Competition Committee met last night by conference call to discuss the enforcement of roughing the passer rules with a specific emphasis on use of body weight by a defender. The committee reviewed video of roughing the passer fouls from both this season to date and 2017. In reiterating its position on quarterback protection, the committee determined there would be no changes to the point of emphasis approved by this spring or the rule into which the body weight provision has been placed since 95. To ensure consistency in officiating the rule, the committee clarified techniques that constitute a foul. Video feedback will continue to be provided throughout the season. Coaches, players, and officials illustrating clear examples of permissible and impermissible conflict or contact on the quarterback. Brandon, did you understand any of that whole mess?
What I understood is, here's the rule. We're not changing it. Here's how you better let's see it the way we see it.
Yeah, and that's the way I was here, but dude, this is going too far, and we know there was four roughing the passer calls on Monday Night Football alone. There was a total of over about 34 in the first 3 weeks of the season, which is over double this called at this point last season. It's got to stop. I mean, it's just some of the plays I've seen, absolutely egregious, man. I mean, what are you supposed to do? It's like, you're taught as a defender, we know football. You go after the quarterback, he's got the ball, you try to sack him. Even if he releases the ball and you already started your motion, what are you going to do? And then, I don't know if you heard, did you hear this situation about the Raiders game and what happened there?
Yeah, it was a Dolphins player was trying to move his body weight away from Derek Carr and tore his ACL.
Yeah, and he was trying to pull up because of that. And how about McCoy on Monday Night Football essentially apologizing to Ben because he came after him and he tried to pull up and then just barely grazed him and he threw a foul. This league is becoming too soft, and just like my cousin, me and him were going back on Twitter and we're like, you know, I even tweeted out saying, look, it's become a point where I'm going to have to watch the Ravens game and that's it, because, I mean, unless they just completely just changed the game and just flipped it, I mean, I don't know if I could give up watching the Ravens football. I love my Ravens, but this would have to be a total overhaul of the league and the rules to me just not being a fan anymore. But it's just really getting really tough. And like me and you, you know, being that I'm more so into hockey in the recent years and it just what happened, it's I almost can't wait for the NHL, because it's like, hey, at least they keep hitting in the sport and they do it the right way. Even though there are rules in place for that sport, you can still hit to regard. It's like lacrosse. You can hit in lacrosse too, and that's also a dangerous game on 2 feet as well. But it's just the NFL has gone too far. I don't know where they're getting their data. They're getting their
it's
embarrassing, to say the least. It's very flat out embarrassing.
I saw it on Good Morning Football. There was a Jacksonville player. I can't remember who it was.
Bryce Jones-Drew, maybe?
Maybe.
Former or current?
Current. He came out and said, look, the committee that's making up these rules are the owners, and the owners invest a lot of money into the quarterback position. So when you invest a lot of money into the quarterback position, you're going to be focusing all of your time protecting that investment. So they're doing this to protect all the money that they put into their quarterbacks. We saw what happened last year when all the quarterbacks went down and how the league, had empty stadiums and wasn't doing as well financially. So if you have a committee made up of owners doing this, they're looking out not for the best of the game. They're looking out for what's best for them. Not even all of their players. So I think it should be like an independent committee away from the owners and away from the league about, you know, the safety for the players instead of, you know, who's protecting who the most on the field.
Right. And you put yourself at a disadvantage when you do that. And I don't know, did you hear J.J. Watt's comments this week about it?
No.
He basically, he said something great. He basically said, in a paraphrasing nutshell here, that when you do that, you're putting one player above everybody else, and that's not right. Because then you're just basically edifying quarterbacks saying, they're God and everybody else sucks and you don't matter. Well, there's defensive players who got paid. You know, J.J. Watt's the highest defensive player. Didn't Aaron Donald just get a record deal? What about him? He's paid big bucks to go after quarterbacks. You know, it's where do you draw the line? And to me, that's almost saying putting special insurance rules in place for sports cars or Lamborghinis or exotics because, like, you get it wrecked, but it's like, oh no, but you can't drive that around because it's a high end car and it costs $50,000 just to replace the bumper. It's like
those cars are more expensive. Quarterbacks are the most expensive because that if you don't have a franchise quarterback, okay, you almost can't win in this league. But J.J. Watt hit right on the head, man. It's you're edifying one position. Yeah, we get it. Quarterbacks are paid high, so are other players. But dude, there's got to be a better way to solve this. And I think the best way is just go back to the way it was. And I don't know if you saw, but Ray Lewis was trolling it today on Twitter. He was putting up some of his old hits and saying shaking my head and. You know, that's why I really latched on to his career and all that, because the way the league's going and Ed Reed and all that, those kind of hits would be illegal today, and it's downright scary. Again, I'm all for player safety, my friend. I'm sure you are too. You want to keep, you know, at the end of the day, these guys are, you know, they're human beings. They got families, their brothers, sisters, wives, you know, their husbands. You know, they got a whole family to go back to, so you don't want them to get hurt to a point of, like, killing each other, but the game is violent. They sign up for this and they know what it takes. So who are we to get in the way of that? And I feel like they're really being ticky-tacky on these rules. And let's just hope. And here's another thing, dude. The latest or completely to rest right now is what we don't want to see. And what's been happening is, and we all know it's coming. Okay, we get it. I'm not saying I'm all for the flags and all that on some random first downs, but we all know it's going to come at a crucial point to where, and I would love to count the times that these roughing the passer calls extend drives. And this is where I almost like hurt my hand, banging my hand on a table or something. Because I get so frustrated when it's a big third down stop. Because on third down, you blitz a quarterback, right, Brandon? You're sending the guys.
Right.
You're trying to stop them, right?
Right.
So what's going to happen is I can see Suggs or somebody come in. We're sending 7-8 guys on Ben. It's 3rd and 15, and someone tackles him hard. There's a flag, first down, extended drive. We could have stopped there. Maybe let's say it's a pick six, just like happened on Sunday, and there was a penalty. Let's say we blitzed him, we hit him, he got rocked, the ball flies, it's a pick six. You know, let's say that could have been the game deciding. Oh, there's a flag, roughing the passer, extended drive, and then Big Ben takes it down and scores 7. That's what really pisses me off right there, man, is those kind of calls. I don't care if he took his head off or how many, even if it was illegal. Don't call it in these weird situations where it's going to cause the tide of the game to turn for the worse. Because that's where, you know, yeah, it's first down, they're buried, you know, whatever, second down long. But it's when those crucial happens late in the fourth when we stop them. Don't call it, man, especially if it's borderline. Like, I get the rule and all that. I don't care about weight, you know, but if the guy didn't do anything wrong, don't be throwing a flag just sake of throwing a flag, because then I feel like the refs are becoming a part. And I heard it on Sports Talk this week that nowadays you can't watch a football game without a flag. Like, how many times that we get a big play and instead of, like, enjoying the play and let it sink develop, you're looking for a flag. Like, oh, we picked off the ball. Oh, there's going to be a block in the back, or oh, we returned a punt to the house. I'm waiting for it to be called back. Like, it's almost ruining the game because fans expect it, and it's really starting to rub me the wrong way, man. Really bad.
It is. I mean, the league is changing. It's affecting the game, and it's not affecting it, you know, in a good way. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is or how to get it to go back to the way it was.
We might just make this glorified WWE football script, and you know, and like what they do in wrestling, they're real wrestling moves, but you can't really go after them like UFC. So maybe they just need to be choreographed plays, and then we watch every week to see the storylines unfold, because that's what's coming to.
That's definitely what it feels like. So
it's exactly what it feels like. Like, you know, everybody's like, the whole wrestling thing. You know, we get why and all that. It's not really, you know, ruffling the WWE fans there, but. It's like the same thing. You watch UFC because that's true blue hitting, but it's like the same thing. Same thing can be said. You're worried about player safety, but you don't see UFC going to gloves and helmet and padded helmets and stuff like that. They're hitting each other with their bare fists, and there's concussions and cauliflower ears and blood and guys cut open and all that. And then, but then you have the NFL. You're not really doing anything bad, but they're just, you have equipment on to protect you. And yet they're making it even worse. It's just it's a mess, brother, and they need to figure it out quick, because we're going to be covering some of these games, and it's going to be awful.
Yeah, it really is. So
see what it's doing. It's taking away from breaking down a great Steelers Ravens big Sunday night bout, man, because it's the forefront of the topic, because it has to be discussed, because it could affect the game, and it's there. But see what it does. It almost takes away from the excitement. For me, it's not, because it's still Ravens Steelers, but we were, what, 20 minutes probably talking about that topic? It's just, it's a passionate topic, but football gets lost because of this is the thing that's got to be talked about. It's just it's a shame, dude.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's leave that for now, and let's see how it affects it this Sunday. Let's talk a little bit about this Ravens-Steelers game. So
let's get it down.
The Steelers have a lot of drama going on. This is going to be they have one win so far. They beat up Tampa Bay on Monday, and they've got a lot of stuff going on off the field with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. Let's talk a little bit about Antonio Brown. He is on the field. He is playing. So how will the Ravens be able to contain Antonio Brown, especially this is Jimmy Smith's last game where he will not be on the field? What are we going to do to contain Antonio Brown with no Jimmy Smith?
Well, they're going to have to do what they did last year, put Marlon Humphrey on him, especially if it's man coverage. I feel like if it's a zone coverage, you really have to shadow him with two players. You know, what makes the good coaches great, or the, you know, I would say the great coaches even greater, is like Belichick. How many times we talk about the Patriots scheme that Belichick's the great coach and all that, because he always takes out their best player. If he's playing Pittsburgh or he's playing this, and this is why kind of the Patriots right now are hurting, because the same scheme. Everybody's double teaming and triple teaming Gronk because Brady don't have all his guys back yet. So when you're down like that, that's what happens. So the Ravens kind of have that same mentality. When Brown, you just got to have that happening. You have to, especially in zone, I feel like you got to have a guy shadow over top, whether it's a safety, Weddle, Jefferson. You have to have a safety shadow over in case he burns that guy, you can cover him over the top. Because what we don't want is those big plays where, let's say it's man coverage, the receiver can only be held down so long, it's only 5 seconds, and next thing you know, it's, you know, Ben scrambles out of a sack or something like that, and then all of a sudden he breaks it, and boom. You know, it's a long 50, 60-yard touchdown plus, because we broke down a coverage and there was a lapse. And that's kind of how it happened in the Tyler Boyd incident on New Year's Eve last year. They were in that zone. There was a lapse in coverage. He found the hole, and no one really covered that, and he took it to the house, and that's what can't happen. So I feel like they really have to zone in on it. There are other weapons out there. Juju is having a crazy year right now, both not in only in fantasy football for our guys or play fantasy, but in reality, he's killing it. And he's outperformed Bell so far a few times, or I would say Brown a few times, my apologies. But, you know, it has a different feel because the Ravens do boast, again, another top five defense, but together with a top five offense. So, and this is a little bit different also because there is no Le'Veon Bell. So the Ravens really haven't faced James Conner. Not that if he came in, it was probably at a backup role or maybe the one time he got hurt. But I don't remember any sort of time where he backed up to Le'Veon Bell tore up the Ravens, if I can remember. I know Bell recently has been tearing up the Ravens and closing out games, and that's where I feel the Ravens can get the edge because it's about closing games. And they got to contain Brown, or it's going to be a long day. Now, you might say the other side of that. Well, Juju's also a weapon, and there's tight ends, man. They got two crazy good tight ends right now. James and Jesse James and Vance McDonald balling. How about the stiff arm Vance McDonald put on last week?
That was the stiff arm heard around the world.
That was like a Steve Smith stiff arm, like, get off me. But these guys, again, there's weapons out there. I mean, the Steelers are horrible right now because they have a bad defense, and they could have been, a few plays away from 0-4. They just got a few lucky breaks in the games they played in, but they're 1-1 or on across the board. Tied with Cleveland. I mean, but they have their own problems. So I feel like this could be bode either way. This could be right on paper, it bodes in the Ravens' favor. But they do have a pass. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger threw for over 400 yards and four touchdowns in a game and lost to the Chiefs. I mean, they got some explosiveness. So don't get me wrong, because the Ravens have that top five defense. Don't mean Big Ben's going to throw for 201 touchdown and three interceptions. Yeah, it could easily happen, but this has a different feel. I almost wanted to say this would had a feel of a 13-7 game late in the fourth. Not of old. I feel like this one's going to be one of those shootouts like we saw last year with a 31-27 score late in the fourth, something like that. Like, I feel like both these offenses are going to shine. The Ravens' defense is way stronger right now than Pittsburgh's, but there's a lot of intricates, but you already know, we don't even have to say it, but we got the check mark in the kicking game, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. We definitely are better than them with special teams right now. Justin Tucker was named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week this past Wednesday, so congratulations to him. But staying on the defensive side of the ball, Kenny Young, one of the shining stars of this rookie class that the Ravens have, he was ranked number 9 top rookie by ESPN this year. What do we expect to see from Kenny Young against the Steelers? How can the Ravens utilize him the best?
Oh, he's going to definitely step up, and it's going to be interesting to see if Mosley even is in the game and plays and he's active, which is trending towards how Kenny Young is utilized. I feel like definitely in the pass coverage, and covering those tight ends across the middle, because the middle of the field is going to be that up the seams and all that, especially if they go two tight end sets, and if they got two wides, they got Juju and Brown on the outside, they go to the two tight end set, and I can see him running a play action like that, thinking they're going to go on the outside with the receivers and then the middle's open. Due to tight ends, you talk about all the big plays we usually get about the receivers, but I feel like the tight ends are a weak spot where right up that middle, man, they gash it. And the Ravens are the same. Ravens have been balling out with their tight ends right now without Hurston. I mean, Max Williams, Boyle, and Andrews have been stepping up big time. So I feel like on the Pittsburgh side of the ball, the tight ends, and that's how Kenny Young's going to be roaming in the field. He's quick. He's agile. I feel like he can do that in pass coverage, and I feel like he's going to provide that extra extra pressure on the blitzes. So I really feel like he's going to fit in just fine, no matter if Mosley's playing or not. It's going to be a great fit, and I really love what I've seen from the guy. It's been awesome, and I really can't wait.
Now, looking to the offensive side of the ball, like we said last show, the Ravens have gone to the red zone 12 times. They've been successful 12 times, and they are making history by doing that. First team in the NFL to do that. But the Steelers' defense is good. I mean, they're ranked second in the league with 11 sacks. So we saw what happens to the Ravens' offense against a good defense in Cincinnati. How do we make sure this isn't like a carbon copy of the Cincinnati game and that Joe's got time to throw the ball and let plays develop?
Well, yeah, it starts in the line. I mean, the way the game started against Denver, you saw a little bit of that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Where the line broke down, Flacco got rocked by Nick Chubb, and it was like, oh, my God. Bradley Chubb, and it was like, oh, my God. Like, no, here we go again. The lines are getting manhandled, and then they got it together pretty quick. So what I feel like, that's what's going to counter. I mean, Pittsburgh, you're right. They do, even though they have a bad defense, their defense is horrible in the back end, pass coverage and all that. Artie Burns has given up, I think, over 140 quarterback rating on his side of the field covering it. So the Ravens got to attack Artie Burns big time. I feel like that's the game plan. But right now, with the 11 sacks that boast second most right now. It's deceiving because Pittsburgh's defense is awful, but it's masked by those sacks. But you don't know, in breaking down the game, you have to go back, but are these sacks coverage sacks where it's they covered the receiver so much that the quarterback really had no time and they got it, or was the quarterback scrambling? I mean, a sack's a sack no matter what it costs, you know, what or what how it's even racked up, you know, whether it's – you get it. So that's where it's going to be the focal point. Again, you know, don't want to be cliche every week, but I can say it every week. The game is won and lost in the trenches. If they can have a clean pocket, Flacco's going to have a great day hitting Brown, Snead, Crabtree's tight ends. Everybody's going to get involved. But that's the pass blocking, and I feel like that coincides with the run blocking. They have been horrible in run blocking coverages right now and hitting their spots, and I just don't know if it's schemes or it's just the running back's not getting that push he needs or getting the oomph. I mean, I don't know if it's the play that's called at that exact time. I mean, you know, because there's some frustrating runs where I've seen it's he runs right into like a pile, and I mean, I noticed that the play design, but you know, get that vision, you know, be patient, wait for the breaks. And I feel like the Ravens are just out there in slow motion running the football. But the line, man, that's going to be a focal point, because if Joe's not having a clean pocket, he's got to be scrambling all night. Dude, it's going to be a long night in Pittsburgh, bro.
Yeah, that's it. The line has to hold up. Ronnie Stanley has to be on top of his game. James Hurst has to be on the top of his game. And the Ravens were working out a new center, right? Is there a chance we're going to see a new center on Sunday?
There certainly is, man. I mean, we definitely, you know, we're looking at that earlier in the week, and we definitely did sign a center. I'm actually going back in my notes. It was former Bears center. I think it's pronounced Ronis Grasu. The H is silent. It's weird. It's spelled H-R-O-N-I-S-S. So I'm going to say Ronis Grasu, and they signed him a former. So and I even said I'm not confident Skur going through all 16 games. So happy that they did sign somebody. Can't wait to see now. I haven't heard anything if he's going to be active for Sunday yet. That's to be determined, and we'll hold that and see. But as of right now, Ravens are doing that because they're not confident Matt Skur going forward, and I haven't been. And maybe that'll help the line and shuffle it around a little bit. But I just felt like since you know, we lost Jensen, and I just felt like it just went downhill.
I think that's why, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is doing so well early on in the season. They got Ryan Jensen kind of guarding him.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen that. And I've always loved his fire. He's scrappy. He gets down and he fights. You always seen him at the end of play. He's always in there scrapping with somebody. I've wanted him to be here so bad. He has a true blue Raven personality in the way he plays and the way he approaches the game. I'm happy that he landed in Tampa. Great team right now. And, you know, hey, let's bring the heat. But, you know, we got to get on the line. The line's going to be every time the ball snap, I'm not watching Joe in the pocket where he's got happy feet. I'm like, can you keep the Steelers off of him for more than 3 seconds? But he's been doing well with this so far, Brandon. Now, remember years past, he didn't have that internal clock. And Fitzpatrick didn't have it on Monday either against Pittsburgh. When they were blitzing, I'm like yelling at the TV, 1, 2, 3, that ball's got to be out. But Fitzpatrick's still back there looking, and he gets either crunched in the sack or he's rushed and he has to run or escape. I mean, you have to know if there's a crucial part in the game and you know Steelers are blitzing and you can sense it and you see it and you call out the defense, you need to, you know, how many times I got to say it? That's what makes Andy Dalton kill us all the time because of that. It's they see it, they throw whether or not. And hey, what was frustrating if you didn't see it on Monday was the receivers for the Buccaneers were open all night long. They could have torched them and won the game. But what happened is Fitzpatrick didn't have enough time to hit him, and when he did, it was either underthrown or it was picked off a few times because of the pressure. So the Steelers' defensive pressure and their second in sacks, that's because of it, because they did well in pressuring him into those. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's going to be a thing that's been overlooked in the past few games. It has because of their record and all the drama, but, you know, it's been one of their strengths, and I'm concerned, man, because if our line don't hold up, Joe needs to get that internal clock, and that's what I've been talking about. That's one of his weaknesses. You know, I've always been Joe Flacco fan, and I mean, how can you not? Being a hardcore fan of the team, you know, if you're a casual fan, I can see why. But if you're all in, you got to be all in no matter who the quarterback is. I mean, you know, you're not running the team. You can run your own fantasy team if you want to pick your own quarterbacks. But, you know, Joe's Joe, and he's not going to be anybody otherwise. And I feel like, you know, that he's got to have that awareness. But leading the offense to 12 straight touchdown drives in the red zone, getting in within that 20 yards of their – I feel like he's done a great job of that awareness and calling, and Marty too, calling the right plays at the right time, and he's got playmakers around us. So it's all recipe for success. He didn't have on a Thursday night, but I said it, and I'll be on record. If that Bengals game was on Sunday, it would have been a win. But short week, short rest, traveling, that's what you get, and you're getting early season football. But hey, 2-1 record. I couldn't be more surprised right now by the way the Ravens are playing, because – I can't remember the last time the Ravens took a top five unit on offense and a top five defense, no matter what week it is, going into Pittsburgh in this kind of a game. So I'm proud right now because they're flying high. They're really playing well. They showed resilience being down. They did it in Cincinnati being down. So see what they can throw at the Steelers. They got to throw everything, the house, the kitchen sink, and then some, because we already know, man, it's going to be a war, and I can't wait to get after it. And if you look, dude, I don't know if this is another must-win for us, but look at the standings.
That's very true. I mean, it is the AFC North is really wide open. Any team still could take it, and even though it is only week four, this absolutely is a must win. But I did tease something on the Red Eye Review this past week where I said it was actually a good thing that the Steelers were getting the win this past Monday and got the win this past Monday. I think it's really good that they got that win Monday, because if they would have come into this game, you know, with zero wins, we already know what this rivalry is built on. We already know that these games mean a little bit more for both teams, and they definitely feel it a little bit more. I think it was Ben who said it, and then Chris Canty said it as well, I think on FS1, where after you get done with one of these games, it's just like you've been on five or six car accidents. So I think it's good.
Love that quote.
Yeah, I think it's good that the Steelers actually were able to win, because maybe a little bit of that we have to win this game is gone now, because, you know, they've kind of been embarrassed. They haven't played well. They've looked really bad. It looks like the coach is kind of losing the team a little bit. Coming in against the Baltimore Ravens with zero wins, they would have had even more emphasis to win this game. Not only do we have to just win to get a win, we have to win to beat our rival. And if our rival can lose to a team with zero wins, then they would have, you know, their confidence would have been up even more. So I think it's good that they got that first win out of the way. Some of that pressure is off of them. And even though this is a must win on both sides, maybe it's not as big of a must win on the Steelers side.
Yeah, man. I mean, I feel like it just would have been it really would have been dire straits. They would have lost that game and then came into really fired up on their home turf Sunday night saying, hey, we're going to get our first win against our biggest rival right here. And it was kind of a fun discussion to talk about, because everybody was like, what are you going to – do you want the Steelers to win or lose? I don't want them mad. I'm like, dude, do you sound ridiculous? I want them to get all the losses they can. I don't care if they come in mad or not. They're all going to be mad. They're playing us. It's a divisional game. But the standings are going to really, really look interesting after this weekend, because the Browns have the Raiders, who are reeling right now at 0-3. They got Baker Mayfield riding that wave. They have confidence. The Bengals are playing the Falcons. That could easily be a loss for them. So if the Ravens can really escape here, they can really make a 3-1 mark, get a divisional win, and really solidify it. Because then, looking past that, you know, we have another divisional opponent on the road in the Browns. So they can really set themselves up here. Again, you know, because of the sake of conversation, let's say if we can escape Pittsburgh with a win, go on a road and get another win, that's two wins in a row. You got a 3-game winning streak, 2-1 in the division, and you're riding high at 4-1. It can look pretty awesome, even if the Ravens were to lose this one. But it's I wouldn't say it's dire straits, and I hope it's lost, but it really sucks if they do, because Pittsburgh would jump in first place with a 2-1 record, because the Ravens would be 2-2, and that tie, you know, gives them a better record winning percentage-wise, because they got 2 wins, 1 loss. We have 2-2. So I feel like here, especially the Bengals lose, if let's just say it all plans out like that, then let's say if the Browns and Steelers win, Bengals, Ravens lose, it's a flip. Now, instead of Bengals, Ravens tied for first, Bengals, Ravens are tied for last, even though they're half a game back. The Steelers and Browns tied for first. So it's just going to be this AFC North race might be really close this year, and it's going to be really fun. I don't think there's going to be separation at least until late November, December. So every game is going to really, especially divisional games, it's going to be just extra motivation and extra getting fired up for the game for the fans, man, because it's just going to mean that much more to get that game.
Absolutely. So, I mean, this is a little weird to come in under an hour, but Josh, have we covered everything for this Purple Friday preview?
Well, we know what it is, man. It's Ravens Steelers heavyweight bout. It starts a great week for fights if you're up for it, because Ravens Steelers bout. If you're a WWE fan, you got the Crown Jewel, and you got the big super fights are going on there, or the matches with Triple H and Undertaker. Great time. And then you got the Conor fight next Saturday. So hey, you better you better get the kids to bed early and get your stuff ready, because it's going to be another AFC North slobber knocker, and it's going to be fantastic. And I think we have covered everything. Latest on the rest, quote the Raven, nevermore. Buckle up, it's Steelers week.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. You can tweet to either one of us on Twitter. You can tweet to me at BrandoCast. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is if you'd please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch. Anywhere you are social on the web with your phone, say I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show on this Purple Friday. It is Ravens Steelers Sunday night, prime time, right where it should be. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. And I cannot wait to get to this game. I've been itching all week. Man, I know some guys are going to the game. Wish I could go with you, but I got something special here in a few weeks that I'm saving for, and we'll get to cover that. It's going to be a very special time in a few weekends. But before we get to that, you better get ready, man, because it's going to be a great game. I'm like bubbling over excitement. I don't even know what to say right now. I'm like stuttering. I'm just excited, man. I can't wait to ramp up, wake up, get it going. But hey, we got to wait all day. Got some good football. Get to watch some of your fantasy guys play. If you don't play fantasy, sit back, get relaxed, and watch some football, because once that clock strikes past 8 o'clock, it's game mode. And, man, it's just Ravens Steelers at its best under the light sunny night. I would love to have the game here. As we all know, we never get that. We have, I think, one primetime game with him in a while. So it's been it's always been at their house, but we're not worried. Heinz Field, we got that under control. Everybody's been always playing very well when it comes on the road, especially in Pittsburgh as of late. I mean, how many times we go up there before and I felt like the team never had a chance out, especially this year. Got to take it to them. The Ravens are really hitting on all strides right now. You know, we know where they're at. We know their identity. That's a key to the game. And Steelers, even though they sneaked out a win, they came without a fight and they almost could have lost it. And this is going to be one for the ages. I already feel it coming. And, man, let's just get ready to have an AFC North war. Baltimore Ravens, let's go into Pittsburgh and let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly, from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.